Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. Today we find ourselves in Mark's Gospel, and we find ourselves in Mark's Gospel chapter 2. Chapter 2 begins with an incident in Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is an interesting place. I've actually had the privilege now of being in Capernaum. And we know that homes were constructed in a certain way. They would have had the flat roofs, and it would have been possible to break into the roof, which of course is the highlight of this story. What we're in fact seeing is Jesus arrives, and people hear that he's present, and so they gather in large numbers. Now, this was always going to be an issue for Jesus, people coming in vast numbers. What was their agenda? What were they looking for? Oh, there would have been so many different things going on. But what we know is that Jesus preached the word to them. You can find that in verse 2. Now, sometimes Jesus did initiate a healing almost at the beginning of a situation, but very often it's on the back of preaching the word as opposed to something before the word. Jesus had things to say. Jesus had things to convey. Jesus wanted to share about the kingdom of God. We don't have a record of what he actually says here, but it's very clear that that was his priority. With so many people coming, crowding in, this is what he would want to do. Now, they would have heard about all those people healed, the whole town gathering at the door. They'd have been familiar with that. But again, Jesus says, no, my priority is to share the word. Now, into this scene breaks in four men who've carried their friend, a paralyzed man, who they want to meet Jesus. Undoubtedly, they're aware of his healing ministry, and so they're very keen to get their friend to Jesus. But when they come to the house, how do they get in? It really is absolutely packed, and there's just no way in. And that's when they go up onto the roof, and again, they're listening very carefully, because if they lower their friend at the wrong part of the house, well, that is going to be almost as difficult as not getting in at all. So they're very attentive, they're listening, taking in what Jesus is saying, and choosing the point to actually break into the roof to lower their friends down. Well, now another situation develops. Jesus, we're told, sees their faith. He's very aware that these are not just opportunists, these are people who have a deep conviction that their friend can be healed by Jesus. But he turns to the paralytic man and says, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, I guess those four friends are fairly shocked. I don't think they have so much an issue as some people in the house as to Jesus' authority to forgive sins. But that was not their agenda. They were thinking about the fact he couldn't walk. That was the top of the list for them. But Jesus demonstrates in this very powerful story that the priority always is forgiveness of sins and having a right relationship with God. You can have a very sick body, but still a good relationship with God. And so he puts first the forgiveness of sins. Now, Jesus, because he's God, he's very aware of what the people are thinking, and they're getting very upset. How can you forgive sin? And so that's when he says, I tell you, man, get up and walk. And the man gets up and walks. Jesus has the authority to forgive sin, and he has the authority to heal as well. Jesus amazed everyone. They praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. Well, let's pause for worship, because after the worship song, my good friend Patrick will join me, and And we're going to reflect a little more on this story.
My God lives, breathing life into the weary. My God heals, and He wants to make me whole. We were made to reflect You in Your beauty. Oh Lord, and would I fly as Your Spirit makes me new? My life shall point to You, renewed, refined, restored. And would I soar in my weakness, You'll be strong, an adopted child of God. Speaks, building faith into His children. Words of truth, bringing freedom from our shame. We've been saved to reflect You in Your beauty.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've come to talk to Richard now about these first 12 verses of Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. So, the man being lowered through the roof. It's a kind of very familiar sort of Sunday school story that all children are told at an early age. But what's the important point that we need to draw out of this story, would you think?
I think that as far as Jesus is concerned, we draw the reality that He was concerned about a person's spiritual relationship with God. And however much He had deep compassion regarding physical illness and sickness, His priority was that people should have righteousness in their hearts, right with God.
Which is why He said to him, "Your sins are forgiven," as his first thing he said.
Yes, exactly. That's right.
Yeah. When we talk about healing, you know, it's not long before the subject of the requirement of faith crops up. In this particular story, it wasn't the paralysed man, as far as we know, who exercised the faith. It appeared to be his friends. Does that make sense, that faith was being exercised not by the person who was healed?
Well, I think that very often that is the case. And of course, it can be a number of different things. What's behind that? I mean, for example, if he was very ill, feeling very unwell, then it's not easy to reach out in faith if your body is really, really racked with pain. We don't know his background. So for others to exercise faith on his behalf is quite understandable. But what I do notice is that he offers no complaints when Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven."
No.
He doesn't get upset about that. He's quite happy about that. He knows what his deepest need is.
Yeah. That statement by Jesus, "Your sins are forgiven," probably something that was guaranteed to upset the teachers of the law who were there. And indeed, they were quite indignant in verse 6. Why would Jesus create this bit of conflict with the teachers of the law, do you think?
I think that it was inevitable that when Jesus speaks truth, that there'll be controversy. And therefore, he was not going to shy away from telling the truth, even though he knew it would create controversy. So he wasn't after controversy, but he was determined the truth must be declared. This man needs his sins forgiven, and I can do that. I think that the teachers of the law, again, were so stuck in rules and regulations that real life almost passed them by, it seems.
And that became a theme of Jesus' ministry, didn't it? I mean, there were quite frequently conflicts with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Well, it ultimately led to the crucifixion, didn't it?
Yes. I mean, they began to hate him so much, but they hated him because of his integrity, because of his wholesomeness. And they just couldn't stand that, because he was not just saying the right things, although they had questions about that. There was something about him that gave an authority to what he said, and they rebelled hard against that.
And it's worth just looking at the final verse, verse 12, and the effect that this event had on the people who were there. Again, amazement. We've never seen anything like this.
Yes. I think that the double blessing, you know, here's someone proclaiming forgiveness, here's someone proclaiming healing, it's all happening, very special, very wonderful.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at Mark's Gospel in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.